Now, let's look at an example that's exactly word for word tells us that in chapter 6 of John. Where the Lord, in other words, the Lord in chapter 6 has already had laid the foundation for you to understand chapter 8. Now, you might want to keep your finger there at chapter 8 so you can flip back and forth and see that whether this is right. But look real quickly at chapter 6, verse 64 and 66. Jesus is speaking and he says this, "There are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, who they were that believed not, and who would betray him." Verse 66. "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." Now, see, the word disciple means student. You can be a disciple and not be saved. Judas was a disciple, but he was never saved. Judas never gave Jesus his heart. One of the proofs of it is he never called him Lord. Never once. Furthermore, the Scripture says it would have been, and we know he died lost, the Scripture says it would have been better for him had he never been born. Now, you don't say that about a saved man. And in fact, the Old Testament prophesied in the book of Psalms that Judas would betray Jesus. Now, see, saved means you make it. And if the Old Testament had already prophesied that he wasn't going to make it, then how can you ever say he was saved? Do you see what I mean? Saved means you make it. So, God, now you say, you mean Judas didn't have a choice? No, God, who is not trapped in time, foreknew Judas' heart. Judas had a free will. God just knew how he was going to use it. God knows everything. When you sinned tomorrow, God, he knew you were going to do it before you did it. That didn't make you do it. The fact that God could look into tomorrow and see what you were doing didn't make you do it. He just looked in and saw you. Or he looked in and saw me. And it didn't surprise him when you sinned. He always knew you had it in you. See? It doesn't surprise God. It only surprises us sometimes because of our pride. I thought I'd gotten so spiritual, I just didn't do those things anymore. You know? And all of a sudden the Lord said, "Well, Floyd, actually there's still some problems there." So looking again at verse 64, Jesus said, "Some of you really don't believe." Now, verse 66 says, these were his disciples. But you see, they were disciples, but they didn't really believe. So in other words, they had not believed under receiving him as their Savior. Now, he was a good teacher, best preacher around. Boy, there was action going on in his meetings. It was fun to be there and see the blind healed. But you know, you can go see that and not give a man your heart. And that was the difference. So I want you to see in those verses that men that were disciples weren't saved. It says they didn't believe and no more walked with him. Now, that didn't say they were saved and lost their salvation. It really teaches the exact opposite very strongly. It says they didn't believe. Now, they believed he was a prophet, believed he was a teacher. But when you read the book of John, that is not the issue. The issue is he deity, the Word that was before the foundations of the world? Yea, God come in the flesh, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That's the issue. And if you don't believe that, you're not a believer. Now see, many people come to us in cult groups and they tell us they believe in Jesus, but when you get them to define what the word Jesus means to them, well, it isn't the Bible view of Jesus. Judas, of course, is the prime example of what we're reading here. See, he didn't continue. He walked with Jesus longer than these guys did, but he never really believed on him as God come in the flesh. Proof? Never called him Lord. If you believed Jesus was God, you'd have called him Lord. Everybody else in the bunch was. I want you to look with me at Romans chapter 11. Ah, you knew we'd finally have to get to it, didn't you? Long ago, I was teaching you some basic principles about how to understand Scripture. And I mentioned one that we've really not touched on very much until we got to this one. For instance, you know, I told you, well, make sure the passage is not only for you, but to you before you start beating somebody over the head or let, you know, the devil beat you over the head with the Scripture. Go across and get a cloak when it really isn't to you. It's for you, but it isn't to you. Well, another principle at that time that I mentioned, but we really hadn't gone over there are many statements in Scripture to national Israel. They're really to Israel as a nation. They're really not statements to us. No, they're for us. For example, there's many Scripture talking about going to Jerusalem. Jews returning to Jerusalem and they're going to build a temple there. See, don't beat me over the head with the Scripture that really isn't to me. Because it's talking about Israel as a nation. And exactly what you're in Matthew 24. Please don't tell me I'm saying because I haven't fled to the Judean hills. You know the verse that did it say? Flee to the Judean hills. Now see, oh, that's not what the verse said. I just quoted part of the verse. Oh, I get you. See, you see how you can really teach anything.
It's scriptural. But watch out. You might find one that says anyone out helping himself. So I'm trying to show you that there's real dangers. I'm using absurd examples so that you can, you know, that it is funny, that we can clearly see that you just can't, that's not sound Bible study to do that kind of thing. There are other scriptures in the Bible that are, you know, that are to the Gentiles as a people. And there's several places in the Bible where God says, one's here in Romans, and there's one in, possibly in Peter, where he talks about Gentiles as a people. He says, you weren't even a people, but now you are a people. And that's right. We see real people are in the image of God 3 and 1. When you're not saved, you're only 2 and 1, so you're not in the image of God, you're not even a real people. I always like this. God always tells us, I'll be God, you be people. That's the secret way God says we need to be born again. See, real people have authority and have a live spirit. You can get in serious Bible trouble by taking scripture that is to an entire nice statement to a nation and trying to beat a Christian over the head with it. Let me give you an example. You read scripture in the Old Testament, I can show you about the scandukus in Isaiah, in Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, for example, of God speaking harshly to Israel as a nation. You're robbing the poor. You're murdering in the streets. Your shepherds are crooked. Your priests are liars. Now, you know, and then strong statements about repent. I'm bringing up Nazareth. He's going to carry you away. I'm going to bring the Assyrians in and wipe you out if you don't repent. Now, can you imagine how Jeremiah would have felt if you were taking some statement Ezekiel said and trying to beat Jeremiah over the head with it? There it is, Jeremiah. False prophets, I bet you'll warn you. False leaders, false shepherds. Then W. Jeremiah. Didn't apply to him. There were many statements where God spoke about Israel in general as a people, but all through Israel were exceptions to those statements. There was always, not just Jeremiah, but a believing remnant. You recall, for example, Elijah had a problem with that. Here in Romans. It's mentioned back in Kings, quoted in Romans. He says, Lord, they're trying to, Lord, I'm, now they're trying to kill me. I'm the only one left that loves you. Have you noticed? Why forget me? Your name is silenced. Lord, kind of says, well, I'll take care of Jeremiah. Don't worry, Elijah, don't take care of that too much. But by the way, there's still 7,000 others in Israel that have not bowed to you, but you are not alone. Oh, that's good. Even Elijah got penciled in and he thought he was alone. Don't feel like that? You know, you're alone. Hey, good, God loves us so much to remind us, oh, there's 7,000 more. I mean, Israel, you know, that's a small, particular area. It wasn't very big. It wasn't just right there. There's 7,000 more. Okay, so it is important then that Daniel, here's Daniel, terribly in captivity, following God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, following God. And yet, at the same time, all the scriptures are some terribly harsh statements from God to the people. But they weren't to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They weren't to Daniel. They were faithful and following God. But there they were in scripture. Right, so you cannot, you see, can you see from those simple examples a tremendous danger then in taking a statement that's made to an entire nation and trying to make it apply to everybody in the nation? America needs to repent. I already have. Okay, but America does. And I find many scriptures in the Bible that are absolutely applicable to America, to our nation. But God already dealt with an individual. So here's the point I'm making. When God makes statements that deals with whole nations, whole peoples, there will always be people within that nation that are already right with God and following God. If they say they're right with God. Now, with that in mind, let's read these wonderful verses. Begin with me at Romans 11, verse 13. The reason I'm starting verse 13 is nobody ever does. They like to get the yellow into the part where you lost your salvation. Before we got the backup material. See, boy, I'll admit, man, this is a hairy one, unless you see it. Until you see it, once you see it, I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I'm an apostle to the Gentiles. Aha! He's talking to Gentiles as a people. Now, when he talks to all over the world, who is a Gentile? Well, if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile, as far as Jews are concerned. Right? Now, this is now a statement to the Christian church. To the church. It's to Gentiles as a people. And he's going to explain something. It's so easy. You just don't believe how easy it is. Okay, here we go. Verse 14. He says, I magnify my ministry so that if by any means I might provoke to jealousy those who are of my own flesh, so that some of them will be saved. Now, as we read this, you're going to see something. Israel as a nation has been set aside in God's program. Now, what was Israel? See, what did Israel? What was their purpose? What did God tell them to do? Oh, I think God told them to do. And we talked about it one night here, just a few weeks ago. Let me just remind you a couple things. God told us that he called the Jews, because one reason, because they were small, so they couldn't brag that they had done it. If anything good happened, they'd have to admit God did. See, if you take 300 men out and you whip an army of 150,000, nobody's going to believe that you did. If you fight in a little field and kill 800 men in one battle, everybody's going to know something supernatural happened. I don't care how muscular you are. And so God, all the scripture, used situations where he would get the glory. Where people would not say, Lord, John is wonderful. They'd say, his God is wonderful. Well, they wouldn't say, Elijah is wonderful. They call Elijah the man of God. The emphasis wasn't on him. It was on his God. It was on the last part. Right now. So Paul says, I want to see some of my own flesh and blood get saved. So even though national Israel was called because they were small, and various other reasons we read in the scriptures, they were, God loved their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he said, you'll recall that he called them before because everybody else was even more wicked than they were. That means they won the championship by default. God didn't say they were good, back to the opposite. He says very clearly in Deuteronomy chapter 9 that it was because, he says, you are not good, you are stiff-necked and wicked, but everybody else is even more wicked. So I'm going to use you. Then he tells us why he used them for. Now hear this. He tells us in the scriptures that he used them in Isaiah 42 and 43 to be his witnesses. To tell everybody in the world about God was real, who the real God was. And they used them, according to Romans chapter 3, verse 2, to be the people that would pass on the oracles of God. They would write them and protect them, the scriptures. So that's how we know, in your country, okay, Luke was a Gentile, but he wasn't. So being a Gentile, being a Jew is kind of like being a black person. You know, you black people, you know it's true. If you've got 1/1,000 black blood to white people, you're black. You know, that's called race prejudice. If you don't like Jews, if somebody got, if your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy had Jewish blood, that's dunk a Jew. To everybody who hates Jews, that's, you know, when you're prejudiced, baby, you're prejudiced. Now, Luke is a Gentile name, but I'll guarantee either his mother or day one was Jewish. How do I know that? He wrote scriptures. And Romans 3:2 says, God gave the duty of the scriptures to the Jews. Now, either your denomination or your preacher or your Sunday school papers, and handouts are wrong, or God's wrong. You're going to get simple. Maybe the boy was Jewish. So one of his parents was Jewish. It's just that simple. And you recall it also the lineage to which the Messiah would come. These are reasons why the Jews were called. Okay. Now, keeping that in mind, let's read these passages. He said, I want God to say some of them. For if the casting away of them is the reconciling of the world, what will the receiving of them be? The life of the man. Whoa. If he's talking about, these scriptures are reaching every scripture to mean that every Jew that ever lived since these passages were written has gone to hell? Never. How do you know that? read the chapter before this, and it's my duty to remind you of verse 1 in chapter 11. Paul figured was wondering about that. He says, I think that has God cast away his people? He's talking about the Jews here specifically. He says, certainly not. Proof. Say, prove it, Paul, prove it. All right, number two. Paul says, he hasn't thrown them away. Proof. Look at me. I'm from the people of Abraham, the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Jew. He says, now, and he's going to teach us here that the nation, and he's telling us right now in these verses, that as a nation, Israel won't. As a people, what God called them to do, these are witnesses in the world for God, they fail that. They began to want to live like the Gentiles. Doggy dog, lots of women, lots of booze, power, pride, everything that we encounter in our lives. They fluff that. But they did succeed in passing down the oracles of God. Praise God. We've got Bibles in our hands tonight. Thanks to faithful Jews, our brothers. I mean that. And they did. They were, by the grace of God, successful in that the Messiah did come through that lineage. Now, so it says, if the casting away of them, in verse 15, is for the right of the world, what was the receiving of the dead? Now, he's talking about Israel as a nation. You can see that by those verses. Because every Jew had died lost. Literally thousands of Jews, thousands upon thousands have received Jesus. Read the book of Acts. The majority of 3,000 there in Jerusalem were Pentecost. And nearly all of them were Jews. Just a few days later, 5,000 got saved. And nearly all of them were Jews. In Acts chapter, and I may be wrong about this chapter, but it's about chapter 6. It says, me and the priest believed. Me and the priest. So, point. As a nation, Israel rejected Jesus as Messiah. There's always been a bunch of Jews that believed it. I'm talking about seed of Abraham, physical lineage. So let's keep in mind, he's talking about God has set them aside. In other words, he said, okay, I called you guys to do a job, and you worked it. So I blow the whistle. Time to send them up second team, and first team failed. Let's send a fresh bunch in. Give the other bunch a try. Alright? Then he goes on to say, verse 16, for if the first fruit is holy, the back is also holy, and if the root is holy, so are the branches. Now, people argue about who the root is here, and you know, whether it was Abraham, but the root of Israel, he's talking about whether it's Jesus who is. See, Jesus is true Israel. Israel's all about Jesus. When we really get down to it, that's what Israel's really all about, the Messiah. Now, since I think the Bible is a book where Jesus is the hero, I would interpret it like Revelation 22 says Jesus is the root and the offspring of David. So most scripture I would give to Jesus primarily. And if you wanted to say, well, maybe that's a secondary application of Abraham also, I would be upset with you about that. But so, if some of the branches were broken off and you being a wild olive tree, because you see, I know, oh, we like to take this verse and point it out as a Christian, as an individual Christian. But don't you see, you is verse 13. I speak to you, Gentiles. Oh, good. Now, picture as people. You see, we're talking about a vast span of people. Jesus' statement is made to a people as though they were a nation. All Gentiles, all the world. This is a statement to you. Now, all Gentiles, all the world aren't going to be saved, and all of them are God has shown us a new principle, a new thing he's doing here. He always talks about he's going to do it in the Old Testament. Look at Isaiah. You were a wild olive tree. That's right. And you were grafted in among them. Now, in the Old Testament, in Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 16, in Hosea chapter 14, verse 5, 6, the Bible refers to Israel as an olive tree. All right, so that was the olive tree. And then the Gentiles were a wild olive tree. Now, remember that Abraham was a Gentile before he was a Jew. He was 99 years old before he became a Jew. He got circumcised when he was 99. That's the mark of the old covenant and becoming a Jew. All right? So, please keep in mind that the father of the Jews was a Gentile also. So, see, we all have our roots in Abraham in that respect. He represented both Gentile and Jew. Showing that God would, of course, be good to Gentiles since he made a Jew out of Abraham, brought him into saving knowledge. So now you Gentiles, as a people, were grafted among them, and with them became partaker of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. What do you mean there? Now don't boast against the branches. But if you boast, remember, that you don't support the root supports you. That's right. That's another reason why I'm convinced that Jesus, not Abraham. See, Abraham didn't support me. He supports us. Right? Now, he's speaking here as Jesus, the Savior of the world now. You will say to him, well, branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well said. Why? Because my grace they were broken off. Ah, look. You see, he's talking to people as a nation. He says, now, I'm talking about Israel as a nation, and some of them as a nation didn't believe. They were unbelievers. They were Jews, physically, but they were not believers. They were like Abraham. So they got broken off, man. Okay? Part of the nation was broken off. And you all Gentiles, no. We're going to see here if you can't go to believe. But then you grasp it in. Everybody see that? Well, because of my belief, they were broken off, verse 20. And you stand by faith. That's how you're going to get this tree. That's how you're going to grasp it in, by faith. Okay? But don't be haughty, but out of fear. If God didn't spare the natural branches, take you, lest he also not spare you. Who? You Gentiles. Okay, one. Should I be a Christian? No, it's Gentiles. Okay, one. Are all Gentiles Christians? No, they're not. Which one are those that have faith in Jesus Christ? Which one? You know, do you see what I'm saying here? Okay. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God. That's right, listen to me, I'll tell you now, that's not most of you are Christians. I'm going to tell you now, that's not about God. That's what you need to know. But I'll always drop in a little statement about David. He'll take us to the woodshed. Now, in this particular passage, though, the goodness and severity is going to talk about, it's talking about not Christians being frankly wicked. It's talking about slaves and unsaved. Oh, those who fail, who got chopped out? Severity. Why did you get chopped out? You already told us. They didn't believe. Sure, you don't believe. I'll tell you who David is. You free brother said, I'm Abraham. God says, yeah, you're not at all. He was my friend. But you, we know, and of course, I don't know you. In the Bible, though, means, and of course, he went in his tent and knew his wife, and she conceived and bore a child. All right? Look for you, goodness. If you continue to defy, there's no deal. If you continue, remember, otherwise, you will be cut off. Well, continue in his business. It is this simple. All right? Now, see what he's talking about here. They also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in. Now, he's talking about Gentiles as a people. The Gentiles as a people, if they don't continue in unbelief, God will put them in the tree. Graft them in. For God is able to graft them in again. In other words, you see, one thing is clear to the individual free will. If they don't continue in unbelief, that's free will. That's us choosing. All right? For if you were cut out of an olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted, contrary to nature, into a good olive tree, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? Please understand, I think you already do understand this. The Old Testament says God divorced Israel. It does say God divorced Israel. Hosea says that. Isaiah says that. Jeremiah says that. What do you mean God divorced Israel? Did he divorce every individual Israelite? No. He divorced them as a nation. They were an unfaithful wife as a nation. But do you think God ever divorced Elijah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Zechariah, Zephaniah, Haggai, Habakkuk, or Habakkuk, depending on how you... No. So see, you can't take a statement, God divorced Israel, and try and be pulled in over him. Why? You better fire him. God never divorced him. So I'm trying to see some statements in here are clearly to a nation. Was all Israel cut off in this? No, just the unbelievers. Of course. Of course. So don't take a scripture that says unbelievers in Israel cut off and try and make it apply to someone that has faith in Jesus and cut them off. You're comparing berries with apples. Okay? Look at me first, but keep your finger right there, 13. Keep your finger there, 13. 11, chapter 11. And turn to Acts 13, verse 46 with me, real quickly. Same thought. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first be spoken to you, speaking to Jews. But then if you put it from you, and you judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, well, we turn to the Gentiles. See, you said, hey, just because you guys are a nation have rejected. Now, he couldn't be talking to all of you. He couldn't be. We've already read so much of the Bible in the book of Acts that Jews must be getting saved. There's a people they rejected. As a nation. Now, been earned. I all figured out, and then the rascal let me down. Well, I've got nothing else up my sleeve. I'll forget that God already knew. He prophesied in Isaiah that they would reject Jesus. All the Old Testament, they prophesied that the Messiah would be rejected, and that it was a result of God's return to Gentiles. Not that question. Sure, you don't think that means God loves Gentiles that are Jews, do you? Do you ever think in the Old Testament God loves Jews that are Gentiles? No, God made Jews to take the message to the Gentiles. The purpose of the Jew was to get the message to the Gentiles. Abraham, I'm going to breed priests. I'm going to tell you, Abe, Rich, see, I'm breed. Nobody will tell us what life is. This is why I call you, Rich, to make up wild stories about what I'm like. Abe, you know what I'm like. Now, I'm going to breed, boy, you're going to have kids. You look like a fantasy. You tell your son, he'll tell this. They'll all know. And everywhere they go, they'll tell people. In fact, I'm going to bless you so much that you won't even have to go very far. Everybody's going to come to you. Everybody's going to want to see what this criminal indignation can be like. They can whip anybody anytime. And if I want anybody, not just because I'm going to bless you. That is far you'll be. But if you don't, then the curses will follow. But of course, I'll always make sure I tell my boys that, well, then go shag your Shadrach, Meshach, and go Jeremiah. Oh, we have some tough times. But God is one. And so, of course, you don't want this. Why did God creep? Why did Paul run us all? Why did the priest do this first? They did not get it. Who else was looking for a Messiah, pray tell? If Paul had run into a typical Gentile church and even different said, Hallelujah, the Messiah has come, they wouldn't have even known what he meant. Messiah who? There was only one denomination looking for a Messiah, Judaism. It was an unjust and unfair. Now, see, the wisdom of that, see, the simplest way to do it would, the Jews would be scattered over the world, they had set up synagogues everywhere, and if the Jews as a people had received the Messiah, that was the easiest way to get it done. Why, Jewish synagogues were everywhere in the world, and it would spread to every town like wildfire, and, you know, Jews all over town would enjoy everybody, and of course, Rome would hate it, but at least that would have gotten established, that would have been a quick way to do it. God knew they were going to reject as a people, and God says, okay. Now, I'll reverse it. I love the Gentiles so much, I bred Jews to tell them the truth. Now, we'll go in reverse. Since the Jews of the nation have rejected me, I'll call out the people out of the Gentiles, and I'll let them know Jews, and I'll be on Gentiles. That's what the Jews had to do. The Jews had to kill each other. No, they had to convert the Jews. Jews had to convert Jews. Not to Judaism, but to Jesus. To God, to Jehovah. And so now the thing is reversed. I got good news. I read the Bible in during the tribulation. When the church, which is made up mostly today of Gentiles, is raptured, God is going to let the Jews as a people have another heart in being witnesses. That's what I'm saying. First thing he's going to go back in. Okay. I don't know how I can say something. It's bad, baby. Now, wait to see. Turn to the Gentiles. Now come back quickly. As we finish up this quote. Look at this. Verse 25 in Romans 1. I do not desire, brothers, that you should be ignorant of this message, lest you should be wise in your own opinion. That hardening, in part, caused happened to Israel as a nation, you see, until the authority of the Gentiles come in. You can don't get confused. You Gentiles are the one. Hey, look at it. In the world today, the gospel message is mainly with us, Gentiles. You can don't be confused about it. Why does it part happen to Gentiles? That's Israel, all right. Until God got the, you know, just how many Gentiles are being just how many Gentiles. Then all Israel will be saved. And that means Jesus will be resurrected and give a second chance. He's already said in chapter 9, verse 6, that everybody that came out of Abraham will be. No, then when the Gentiles have been removed, the church has been removed, all we in Israel will be saved. That's right. You read about that in Zechariah chapter 13. Talk about 2/3 of the Jews in every town and down. 1/3 is going to physically be survived. And they will all be saved, not only physically, but spiritually. Okay? So the deliverer will come out of the town. How do you prove all Israel is finally going to be saved? Now, all Israel was alive at that time. It survives. Not every Jew is Israel. That's not what the passage is talking about at all. So I love his proof. He quotes the Old Testament. The deliverer will come out of Zion. He will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Because this is my covenant with him. When I will take away their sin. Oh, who's going to save them? Who's going to save them? God, Jesus, Jehovah. I like that. Concerning the gospel, they, the Jews, are in it for your sake. Is every Jew in the gospel all the time today? No, no. No, I know the Jews that love Jesus. I know many Jews that born again at one sitting right there. He's the seed of Abraham, and he's also a born again Christian. See? Now, but so this verse does not apply to him. Please don't be able to hear after the seed of Abraham. Oh, you're our enemy. No. It's concerning the gospel. As a nation, Israel is against the gospel of Jesus. And it's actually for our sake. We get to give the message. We get to go to the front of the class and say, oh, you Jews need to receive your Messiah. Oh, joy. But concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. In other words, just remember, the bulk of time as a nation, they're against the gospel. Those that are saved, you see, but those that are elect are beloved for the sake of the fathers. In other words, please remember God chose you for a purpose. And the fact is, a nation, look up, there's a Jew right there. And though a nation refuses to tell people about Jesus, he hasn't refused. So you see what I'm trying to show you is, why you're dividing words? Why? Because the gift and the calling of God are irrevocable. See, what God says is going to bless Jews, he's going to bless Jews. Everything about the Bible says God can bless Gentiles. It rains on the just and the unjust. Who? How do you know God can bless Gentiles? I'm a Gentile, I'm saved. Don't live with God forever. Harris. There's a Jew. He's saved. He's going to live with God forever. So, the gift and calling of God are irrevocable. Did God call you to bring the gospel message and be witnesses? Read the book of Revelation. Those that have a nation they're set aside right now. He's going to live with the gift and calling. The gift and calling of God are irrevocable. You know, that's right. The sons of Aaron were called by God to be priests. Were they lost? Were they lost sons of Aaron in the Old Testament? Lots of them. Did they still get to be priests? Yeah. They didn't go ahead with the bride, but the sons of Aaron had been called into priesthood, and maybe you couldn't go around it. But as you in time step for disobedience, God yet now you have obtained mercy through their disobedience. Even so, these also have now been disobedient, that through the mercy from you they may obtain mercy. Key verse, verse 32. For God has confined them all in disobedience, so he can have mercy on everybody. And you see what I'm saying there? She said, hey, the Jews as a nation will never be able to bride and say, we deserve the kingdom of heaven forever because we fulfilled our purpose. God said, no, you didn't convert the world, you weren't good witnesses. Why you had to kick out of the land many times? Here's somebody else. Well, then why are we blessed? My mercy, not that you earned it. Well, again, I'll talk about us in time step for God's enemies. And now we can take it. In other words, by these verses, God showed us something. He said, one plan, time again to save people. And it was based on mercy, not on works and rewards. The eternal rewards are based on the works, but salvation is a free gift of God, and it's flat out due to mercy. And with that, he just goes, see, they might have a mercy on all alike, everybody alike. Now, real quickly, with these thoughts, bring in your mind, go back to verse chapter 9 here in Romans. Verse 2, Paul says, I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Now, let me tell you what you listen. You might want to write something up in the Bible. What Paul is doing in chapter 9, 10, 11, he's picking up back from chapter 3. Now, Paul, I understand Paul. Let me tell you why. I think like he did. I don't mean, that I'm an apostle like he was. But I mean, I'm just like this. Paul has a subject that he's going to tell you about, and he never just tells it. When Paul starts a story, he gets about 5 stories going at one time. And he'll start, and he'll leave the main story to take it back and put it. Then later, he'll come back with the main story for a while, and he'll get another Reddit going out. He'll tell you what, he'll get purple going, but he's always got the main thing running. Now, I'm like that. So since I'm like that, naturally, it's easy for me. I say, he's going to tell me again. Yeah, I start flipping pages trying to find when he got back on the subject. Now, everything he said was wonderful, but Paul likes like that. Yeah, and that's why I thought he got a steady word. To show you that he uses him like that to reward those that diligently search out the word. Back in chapter 3, verses 1-2, Paul was talking about the Jews. And he said, is there any advantage to being a Jew? Because well, yes, much. For example, God gave them the job of giving the scriptures, the oracles of God. He kind of left it. He all through here, he has had some thoughts about them, but for the most part, he left that thought, chasing some rabbits, good rabbits. Oh, chapter 6, 7, 8, Romans, oh, wonderful. Chapter 4, 5, hallelujah. But now he comes back at chapter 9 and 11 and picks up with a far answer to, is there any advantage to being a Jew? Christ? Was that good? They said, man, I'm broken up. I have continual heaven and fire in my heart, verse 2. But I can listen to myself with a curse from Christ for my brothers and my kinsmen, according to the flesh. I love my family, my Jewish family so much. He says, I'd be willing to go to hell myself if I was going to be saved. He says, I love them more than I do my own soul. But he used that love in a different way. And so, he says, they're Israelites. Now, according to the flesh means they're his brothers according to the first verse. Probably they haven't been born twice. So they're his brothers according to the second verse. He says, they're Israelites. And that didn't pertain to the adoption and the glory of the covenant and the giving of the law and the service of God and the tabernacle and all those covenant promises. He says, I'm from the Father and I'm according to the flesh. Christ came because Christ according to the flesh was a Jew. You know, Mary was a Jew, according to the Father was God, and somebody is a Jew. Then go down to verse 6 and says, remember that everybody is, that came out of Israel is not really Israel. Verse 8, those who are children of the flesh are not children of God, because you've been a Jew by flesh and not by God. So he begins here, pulling out his heart. Then real quickly, down in chapter verse 30, what we're saying, that the Gentiles who did not follow after righteousness. So you see that again here, he's making a comparison of the Gentiles to the people of Israel and the nation. The Gentiles who didn't follow after righteousness have attained righteousness. How? Well, they did by the righteousness of faith. We did like Abraham. The original Jew did it. But what did he want to get? He was a Gentile when he believed God. He had been circumcised till he was 99. But he believed and began to obey God when he was 75. And he had heard from God before that, when he was a Gentile. And he had faith. And chapter 4 is all about it here in Romans. But Israel, the nation, following after the law of righteousness, has not attained the law of righteousness. Why? Because they didn't speak about faith. They started by the works of the law. Well, every Jew did that? Did every Jew speak righteousness by the law? Huh? No. Elijah sure didn't. Elijah wouldn't have done it. Elijah knew better. So did Elijah. They knew they wouldn't have to come to God by faith. How did they know that? They read Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, that God counted Abraham righteous after God's promises. How did God count that? Adam righteous. He told Adam that Eve was going to have a single woman. Adam believed it. Eve believed it. That made him righteous. Because they believed in the single woman. He said, well, I believe that Jesus was righteous, he said. Look at verse 33, shows us that he always included in Gentiles. Number one, because Abraham started out Gentiles. Number two, so well. Well, I lay down a stomach stone and a rock on him. Whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Whoever, that's the Gentile. You see that? Then, we just talk about brothers, chapter 10. My heart desires prayer to God for Israel, is what they would say. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, because they're trying to establish, he says in verse 3, their own righteousness. He says, coming to God for his righteousness. Okay, then goes on. And then in verse 13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You are Gentile. And verse 16 says, the trouble is the Jews have not obeyed the gospel, because Isaiah said, Lord, Jesus, believe everything. He says, the trouble is, all the Jews, when you talk about a nation, they always believe. We're talking about individuals. Some believe, some don't. So it goes on with that. And it goes on in the concluding part of chapter 10 of saying that the Jews as a nation have rejected, and all day long, he was an arm stretched out for them. That's just what he's done. That's a difficult passage. But that's not so tough if you see clearly what he's talking about. Now, let me just say that something that goes right in there. Notice, see, today, you understand that today, as a nation, Israel, as a nation, is not saying the gospel. As a nation, they're not witnessing to the Messiah. As a nation, they don't even have all the scriptures. As a people, Gentiles, they don't possess the testament of the oracles of God and are the witnesses to the world. 101, maybe at least over, say, Jews. So I want to see that God has called for himself out of the Gentiles a people we call them Christians. Those are the ones that believe. See, those are the Gentiles that believe. What? Gentiles. Those that believe are called Christians. Those that don't. But that's not in truth. They're not in idolatry. Like I'm believing Jews, they got chopped out. And they're believing Jews, we got as a people. So what you're saying is, God has taken what he called the Jews as a nation to do and given it to the Gentiles as a people to do. Judas is an example of this. In Acts chapter 1, verse 20, it says, Judas fell from his bishopric. That doesn't mean Judas fell from his salvation. He lost his position. He lost position as a bishop, an apostle. Because of unbelief, he was a plain apostle. That means he died. Now, the same thing, he was apostate. So he lost his position. His official position of his heart was never saved. Israel, he was like Israel, you see. Israel as a nation became apostate. And therefore, as a nation, they fell from that position, that special position they had in God's program of protecting the Word of God, keeping the Word of God, and being witnesses.